We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.
Matthew chapter 19 from verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? That he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffer you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Now, we started looking last week or previous week, or the two previous weeks now, on those challenges that can crop up in the marriage that normally lead to divorce, aside from what Jesus said here, that except it be fornication. So people have reasons to put away, and they have their own grounds on which they claim that they want to put away. And we started looking at those issues, and we saw, especially last week, we looked at the issue of finances, what finances can, the havoc it can wreak in a home. We look at the interruptions from family interruptions, in-laws, we have brothers, sisters, third party, and all of that. We saw that last week. Then we looked at family past experiences. That was the point at which we really stayed on last week, past experiences. Like what you have experienced in the past, maybe a lady has been raped before, abuses, maybe domestic abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, trauma. We look at complexes, inferiority, superiority, and all of those things. They could also come up in the course of a marriage and affect a relationship. So this morning, we will try to finish other ones that we have that we need to discuss and probably look at some other ones that we may have not talked about. This morning, we'll first look at unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic expectations. And Reverend Mrs. will just guide us into that. This morning, we are not breaking into classes. It's not going to be a general discussion. So, we just guide us. We will do the talking more. But when we talk about unrealistic expectations in marriage from the spouses, maybe the man, the woman, we want to look at what exactly they are and how sometimes they can lead to breakup in a relationship and what should be done and the position we should take even before marriage that can help us. So Reverend Mrs., we guide that discussion.
Hallelujah. Now we are talking about unrealistic expectations. Even before we go into that, what do you understand by unrealistic expectations? I'm just to guide. I'm just to coordinate the class. What do you understand by unrealistic expectations? By the word unrealistic expectations. What do you think that one constitutes of? I want response, please. Or should I just call people? I want responses. realistic expectations. We are not new to marriages. You were brought up in one. You have seen so many ones around you. You have heard about so many. So it's not a strange topic. It's a topic that we are used to. Victor.
To my own understanding, I want to say that unrealistic expectations are idols or imaginations that we have in our mind that a woman might look like. Maybe after watching many movie magic, African magic and a lot of movies, you just see a lot of things. And then you just think that, okay, that's the person that I'll marry, we have to do like this. So you've calculated everything and try to imagine those things have been in your imagination, and you want to come into that marriage and start playing like Sydney or anybody, and you want to just your wife to be like that. And then most of the times it breaks homes. That's why people nowadays, last week what was born in my heart was this year of trial marriage. It's a stupid thing that it should not be even named among men. It's another side of the story entirely. It's an ugly part that people will have to live with one another for like 6 months or 3 months to try maybe they can marry. Pastor mentioned it later on Sunday, but it's something, when I first heard it, I knew it's a satanic attack, and I know it's a principality of power at work there. I attacked it immediately. I said, this is stupid. This is not man. This is animalistic. This is tree. This is a tree life. After that, I knew it was strong. I heard it from another person, from Ife again. I heard the first one from Ondo, and Mommy Olagundoye said it here once, that what's this thing about trial marriage, that it should not be heard among God. Even I think unbelievers should not be doing it. But I think some believers are believing into it now. So they want to go in and see that maybe they have actually become their imaginations, and they are ready to work with that person that can only fit with their imagination. Now they are going to try a marriage to really see if can this person do this. And when they now see it, they will now go out. I can't even place that kind of thought. So that's what I think about unrealistic expectations.
Thank you very much. I want other person to contribute to that. Unrealistic expectations. I want you to cite examples. Okay, like.
When we talk about unrealistic expectations, it's sum up in not accepting the reality of situations around. Now, a woman who knows how much the husband comes back home with at the end of the month. Let's say the husband is earning 20K and herself maybe 15 or 20K. Let's just. Now, such a woman will not be expecting her husband to come home in the next 6 months after marriage with a Camry 2008 edition. You know, that is unrealistic. Now, if a woman will not be able to, or a man will not be able to accept the reality around, you know, the situation around that marriage at that point. For example, I used to say that I cannot marry in a small way. But it get to a time, it dawned on me that you will have to start from where you are to get to where you are going to. And I've seen examples around me. People who started from one-bedroom apartment, they moved to two-bedroom flats. Now, because when we talk about unrealistic expectation, most of the time, it boils down on physical things that sustain a home. The food, the clothing, the house we dwell in, you know. And sometimes when a man wants to be romantic, he will come home with physical things that this woman can lay hold on. And he will say, do you know I love you? And the woman too will respond, you know, I love you now. You know, things like that. But when somebody cannot accept the reality around at that moment, is unrealistic, is having an expectation that is not realistic. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, do you know that, I want to set an example, like females. Maybe you see him, like Victor said, in films, and a man coming in and bringing. Today he comes in, he brings some things from Tantalizer. Tomorrow he comes in, he brings another one from Mr. Biggs. The day after he comes in and brings another one from somewhere else, you know, goes shopping, bring them home, and he's like, oh, that is how a home should be. That is not, if you are thinking of it, it's not realistic. You understand? Life is not all about what you have to eat. At times you just have to even sit down and think on, okay, this is what is coming in. How are we going to spend it? So you can't afford to just be frivolous. If the money is there, fine. But let me tell you, most people start small. Now you don't expect a family that is starting today to start behaving like a family that started 10, 20 years ago. They're not, you know, we are not expecting the same thing. So we go into marriage with realities. Don't get there until the thing dawns on you. Let your eyes be open before you get there. It's not a life of roses and champagne. You go out, you keep moving out from restaurant to restaurant, and it's like, that is life. So now we're talking about this thing because they can actually break your home. Now, if a woman is expecting something in particular, like women, we love gifts. It's natural. Some of us, if you don't see somebody giving you gifts, you are not moved. It's like, is that love? If you can't really buy gifts, is that love? But let me tell you the real thing. Love is not about I give you gifts or I don't give you gifts. Love is a reality on its own, and we should stop living in the clouds. Let's stand on the ground and stand well. You understand? Do you understand what we're talking about? Now, you know, you have, like Pastor was saying on Sunday, we have images in our hearts. You know, my wife, you know, these are 6, maybe 5.6 height. I want her to be round. I want this. I want that. Or I want my wife to be slim. And she now gets married. She's now becoming fat. What happens to your idol? Crushed. The idol is crushed. Or, you know, we have so many things in our hearts. Some of us are just here. What is in us is only God that can deliver us. And we need to start dealing with them before we get into marriages, or else it's going to become a problem for our spouses. Hallelujah. So please, the images are there. Let's deal with them early enough. You know, what you think, we are living in Fantasy Island. You know, there's a film there called Fantasy Island. Did you watch it? Well, series. There's a Fantasy Island. You just come in. What is not realistic on the outside is realistic there. But the whole thing does not pass the island. Maybe you come there for a whole week. After 1 week, you go back to reality. But let's live in realistic life and not in Fantasy Island. Now, what do you think it can lead to? Now, maybe I want you to start an example. Maybe this, and this, and if that thing happens in your home, it can lead to this. It can lead, maybe it's the husband or the wife. The husband expects, like we're talking last Sunday, we're talking about a man expecting a woman to be able to cook like his mom. And he gets home, he's disappointed. And the reality is no two women cook the same way. Even if the mother brings her up, she can't cook like your mother. There's always, I believe it has to do with that person. There's always a specific taste to a specific woman's food. Have you noticed that? There's always a specific taste. You can't reproduce. Even if she cooks the same hour, the same minute, ingredient after ingredient, there's this thing about her person that goes into that food that makes the taste to change. Hallelujah. So I want us to talk about, what do you think? Maybe what happens? Maybe a particular situation, this thing happens, and, you know, this is the reaction that comes out of it. Or what do you think can come out of it? No, we want to bring it down to earth so that we can actually relate with these things. You know how to handle situations when you come face to face with them. You are prepared for what you are going into. I mean, none of us. Okay, let me just even ask this question: who is not planning to marry? So we will know. I will not call the person now. Who is not planning to marry? Okay, we are all interested in marriage. We are all interested in marriage, Abby. I want you to answer now. So let's be part of this class. So what do you think? I want to give other things I can think can happen in unrealistic expectations. unrealistic expectations. Or maybe you think your husband is earning, okay, somebody I'll marry. Some men will feel, okay, like Fola was saying, he wants to marry big. His marriage big might even be, maybe he's thinking of a big marriage, big wedding, or you want to set your house. It means set. You know what it is to set a house. You must have your house. Your house must have well rugged. Your house must have furniture. Your chairs must be there. You know, a woman will feel, you must have microwave before I come in. You know, you must have watch. You must have dishwashers. You must have washing machine before I come in. Gas cooker, no stove. Those are expectations in our hearts. And you feel, okay, if you want to marry this person, you want to go and see the person's house. Shele Redisha, or is still playing. Those are idols in our hearts. And when you see that one, it's like, oh, love has come at last. Praise God. But a man can have all those things and he might not still be a man. He might not be able to live up to responsibilities. So those things in the house, the physical things you can see, they are not the thing that determines whether a marriage is going to be successful or not. Have you never heard of people that marry from rich families, or husband from a rich family, wife from a rich family, they settled them before they got into the marriage. For 3 months, they are out of the whole thing. 3 months. What happened? They did not know what they were expecting. They expected too much. Maybe this is an idea. You are coming with the mentality of, this man must be like my father. You love your father so much, and it's like, the way he does things, the way he behaves in the house, you want your husband to behave like that. It's an unrealistic expectation. It's coming from a different background from yours. So you must come with a mindset that, come, what is the reality in this thing? What is the reality? Let's face it, what is the reality? We are talking about unrealistic expectations, but what is the reality? What do we even expect? What is the real thing that we should bank on? Hallelujah. Women, what is the real thing? I want you to ask them, what is the real thing? You want to go into marriage maybe in the next 3-4 years. What is the real thing? Amarachi, what is the real thing? Oh, yeah, quickly. What's the real thing? What do you expect? Real thing, reality. You've been learning about life. What do you now expect? Your mindset should be changing from what it used to be years ago.
I think what the real thing actually is for you to get married to someone that is matured enough to handle responsibilities and be able to take responsibility for anything that happens at any point in time, and not trying to push things on you and trying to find someone to blame, consigning whatever thing that happens. Someone that should just be able to stand up to his responsibilities.
How will you know that?
I don't actually know, but the Spirit to help us. If you're somebody that is filled with the Spirit and you have God, it's going to lead you to the right person. It's not going to make mistakes with it.
Let me tell you, the first way you can even find out is true friendship. That's when you know who is who. Because you are friends, you are not trying to aim at any relationship, not trying to aim at this relationship must not fall. So you are doing everything to make it work. But when you are friends, you get to know who is who. You know men are responsible. The way he speaks, the way he arises to respond, you know, challenges. When you go to him, maybe you go for advice and he can give you good advice. You know what? No, this one is not that you are going to test him whether he's going to be a good husband or not. But there's a way a man just come up to responsibility. You understand? Hallelujah. He might not look, you might see, he might be a brother that does not, you know, the number of shirts he has, you know, the number of trousers he owns, you know things like that. But those things, they don't matter. That he doesn't have today does not mean he's not going to have tomorrow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want another sister to tell me what you're expecting. Busola, your expectation. The reality, I mean the real thing, not let us leave physical things aside now, but the real thing that you should expect. Somebody comes, Abusola, you've been hearing so much about life. I want you to advise me. I'm planning to go into marriage. What do you think? What should I expect? What should be the real thing in my heart? You never thought of it.
To me, I think if I should advise someone like that, I would rather advise the person to, you know, have in his mind or expecting a man who has the fear of God and who is godly, who have the fear of the Lord, and whose heart runs after the Lord all the time.
Okay. A man that has the fear of God, a man that is godly, he loves God, he wants the things of God. Okay, maybe always reading the Bible. You go to him and it's like, you go to him and say, sisters, let us pray together. How are you going to know that he's godly? Yes. How are you going to know that he's godly? Is there a brother? I say, and you come around, you come to come and pay him a visit. I say, let us pray. You pray. And you are leaving. God bless you, sister. God be with you, with your spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Is that godliness? She wants to talk more. Give her the mic.
I don't mean all the time just like that. But at least we should be expecting a man who is godly and at the same time...
How will you know he is godly? That is the thing. Godly. How will you know a man is godly?
No. True friendship.
Okay. What do you see there? Pastor said, what do you see there? What do you know there? So you see, we use so many words that we don't really think deep on what these words mean. How will you see it? That a man is godly. He stays 24 hours in the church. He goes around preaching.
No,
he comes to you, God bless you, sister. What
no,
is your
ma.
Trouble?
No, ma.
Then how will you know? Or he goes to vigil. Doesn't miss any vigil. Prayer meeting is always there. So how will you know? Somebody else, please. Okay, brothers, what do you expect to? The same way. For Lake first. A brother that is godly, is God fearing. How will you know he's God fearing?
When we say God fearing, maybe the way he talks, the way you interact together.
Like he's talking, God bless you, sisters.
No.
Praise the Lord, the Lord is faithful.
The character.
Okay.
Character that show God.
Like, give me three.
Like when you need advice.
Okay.
It will advise you.
Your advice,
in
okay.
a proper way.
Okay.
And maybe...
That means we are not really thinking deep on these things. Dele. How will you know a sister is godly?
I'll say such a person must not be over expectant. Because talking about unrealistic expectation, really we'll be talking about that person expecting too much. We can't look at it as being underestimating something, it will be above.
Over. Okay.
Exactly. And
so what is the talking about, I expect?
About that godliness that we are talking about now. It could be in form of advice, as people have been saying.
Okay.
And it won't be somebody who will lead you into something that is wrong. Like a brother asking for from the sister, sex before marriage.
Okay.
Things like that.
And he's not godly.
And a kind of conversation. After all, there are times you stay together for courtship. The way he talks, things that comes forth, things that comes up during things period like that, you will have sense that such a person is maybe someone you can go with or not.
Pastor said on Sunday
that
courtship is not a trying period, though.
Wait,
and see, Courtship, you're going to courtship when you have marriage in view. Okay. You are not going to try whether it's going to work or not in courtship. So that one should be settled. Proposal, when proposal comes in, that means you are ready. You know, oh, this is the person you can go with. And you give your word. Not the trying period. So.
There is much to discover in friendship. That's just the truth. There is a depth in friendship. If we all, this environment is a good environment. When I was in service, it's the last bus stop for people to get hooked.
Yeah.
And there you see different kinds of friendship, different kinds of Christians we have. When you're talking about religiosity, you will see religious Christians, or religious brothers that will never leave the sanctuary. We have what we call sanctuary, a parlor. They will always be there. They will show you that they are Christians. For they will deceive you for 6-8 months. So there is much to discover in friendship. A man came to preach to her and said, marry from your kind of folk. Look for your folk, the kind of people you eat the same food. For a long time, not somebody you know for a year or two, that you don't even know where the person is coming from or where the person is going to. If you, in friendship, you will discover that this person is a real person. Not somebody who sits with the Bible for 24 hours. No. Or who is always going to preach, who is always going to do that. I know your brother was the evangelism secretary. Now I know him, that he was really looking for marriage. He was not just a friend. This is over 2 years I'm talking about. He still calls me. But such a person, if we have got hooked, we'll just patch up things. I would see things I don't like, but I'll just patch it up because let's make it work. We don't want to break. But there's a lot to discover in friendship. Friendship is golden. When one has the heart of friendship, you will see different kinds of brothers. And not every Christian brother can even be your husband. Not every Christian lady can be your wife. So it's all boils down to true friendship. Not friendship with the aim of, I want to marry her or I want to marry him. Because, ma, if we so us say we want to expect a godly man, we can't have godly brothers in the house. We can't force them to be Christianly. Not everybody will stand at the pulpit to preach. Not everybody will stay there to... There are still some brothers, even ushers, who are faithful in heart to God. Yeah. We don't just have that picture. No, it's not. I'm not looking at them, but I'm just citing examples.
Yeah.
No, it's not. We should not just have that picture, because there are some sisters I met in service. He must know how to preach. He must know how to pray. Then you know he's a Christian. Hey. You should know how to sing. Some is the MD they are targeting. And things like that. It should not be. We should have the heart of friendship, brotherhood. When we are able to explore the part of brotherhood, then you will never know that this person will be your future husband. You will just be friends. I think that's what we should expect.
Hallelujah. So we should be friends. Friends. When you talk about godliness, you can only know godliness through friendship. When you are good friends, you are not pretending, you are not trying to make sure that she accepts you or he accepts you, you are just yourself, then your real person comes out, your beauty comes out. And because you'll be hearing the word of God, there's a way you just change and you keep coming up. Like what she said, marry from the people you feed with. Your king's men. Because it's easier, because like you have been joining together, you have been feeding together, and there's a way God has been working on your heart. Hallelujah. I jokingly say, brothers, open your eyes. Don't let all your sisters go. Amen. Please. So when you talk about unrealistic expectations, then what do we do? Now you have gotten into it. Marriage. I do. Now you now find out that this is not whom you expected. This is not whom I expected. Or whom she expected, or whom he expects. What do we now do at this situation? You're ready into it. And it's like it was going to break down. How do we salvage what wants to break? Acceptability. There's nothing else you can do again but to accept that person. You're already in it. You are in it. So you come and understand whom that person is and learn. You see, you forget yourself. You forget yourself. You now accept that person as he is. There are so many things you will learn that you never knew that the person was like that, even in friendship. But by the time you now go with the heart of whatever I meet in this place, I will accept it. So you go with that mindset so that come, no matter what I face, I will take it like that. Hallelujah.
No pastor wants to add some things, but let's just say this as we forward. Continue that there is only one thing to expect from a spouse, somebody who is God fearing, like I said. What do you use to know that God fearing nature? As we have all said, it's not advice, so it's not if he advises you right. Oh, there are good counselors, they talk very well. You know, pastor said he used to advise people a lot in those days. You know, a lot, you can meet people who advise you very well. That's not a yardstick. Now, in friendship, you will now discover so many things. Then to really know the brother, who is the last say in his life? How does he yield to God? There are so many ways through which you will know. In what he does, when there is nobody to even check him, how does he normally check himself? Who is he accountable to? If everything in his life, you always say, maybe if God will not want that, maybe if God will not want that, or if God will have me do that, you will begin to see somebody who has a tendency to drop something if God says drop it, and somebody who will do something if God says do it. So that controlling factor in his life, will also show you to a great deal to see whether he is God fearing or not. Forget about quietness, forget about outspokenness, forget about all of those. Even all of you sisters now talking God fearing, if your husband is very loving God and all of that, sometimes you begin to complain. You will say, he doesn't know how to. It's not wake up. It's always wearing native. I want to see a man that is. You will still have those things. But all those ones, they are really of no issue because there are many things you don't know. And there are many things other people know. So they will just teach you. And that's the essence of going through a counseling session, for instance, now in marriage. They will ask you a lot of questions. They will ask you so many things that you don't even know. A lot of people don't know how to even greet people. Maybe you wake up, how will you greet your wife? What will you say to? A lot of people don't know how to. It's not their fault. They have not seen that. But they can be taught. Do you understand that now? A woman can be taught. A man can be taught. It's good. But the basic thing, the real thing are the spiritual things, those controlling principles of his or her life. That you get to know. And in friendship, you don't try to be fake. Maybe you have the mind that, okay, they say we should go into friendship. I will not propose. You are my friend. I'm your friend. And you hide under that guise to still try to do your own thing. It will blow out somewhere. So just go with a sincere mind. Do you understand that now? Be sincere. Be sincere to each other. Even in that friendship, learn to be sincere. That's the key. Honesty. And sincerity of heart. It will help you a lot. In fact, it will not just help you for that. It will also show you who you really are. You will come to discover a lot about yourself. And you will now know how to adjust. Is that clear? And then don't wait for, maybe until you find somebody. You say, be friends. And say, well, I don't really have a friend that I can really go into marriage with now. That don't even have marriage, really. As you get close to people naturally come together. You find people naturally. Maybe if you get, like if we ask those who have gone on service now, it's just a week old now. If we should recall them now, they can pick 1, 2, 3 person they have made friends with. Even in that 1 week, how did they come together? One thing or the other, like-mindedness, whatever, just brought them together. Now, in that state, begin to be real. Don't even have the mind of, even if it is a man to man, or woman to woman, or man to woman, don't begin to have, okay, this one cannot be my wife. Let's not even start friendship in the first place. Mm-mm. Just be friendly. Hallelujah. So, let's progress. There are some good things that are also good for all these people to know that can result to wanting to cause conflict in the future. Don't have the mind of changing anybody. Is that clear? When Reverend Mrs. said you must accept, it's not trying to tell you that you must manage. Is that clear? No. You've come to the state of acceptability, true acceptability. A man of God says, when love flows, acceptance grows. It's natural. Is that clear? So don't have something that I will change him. I will change him later. Maybe she's aggressive or he's aggressive. You don't want to talk about it. You say, if I talk about it, she may get angry and we may not be friends anymore. No, talk about it. Don't say when we get there, if she talks, I will just sit down there. No, it will not work. It will don't have the mind of changing, and you don't have what it takes to change people. It's the only the Holy Spirit who does what? He said he will convict the world of sin. He's the one who can really, and that's why many wise women, when they see their husband doing some things that they feel they are not right, what do? They go on their knees. To connect the person who can change. Don't try to change. Now let's look at this issue quickly. The issue of separation that can come on the grounds of job. Job now. Now we're going to look at job compatibility or incompatibility. Now, separation. When I mean separation, that is not being physically together on the grounds of job. You understand that now? That is also a situation that can lead to strain in marriages if not well and properly handled. Is that clear to us? Do we understand that? Separation, that is not being together in the same place because of what I do for a living or because of what you do for a living. Like a man who is a commissioner now and is going to serve for 4 years with an administration and naturally lives in Oyo State and he has been brought down to Ondo State now to be in the government house where he wakes up and lives every day for the next 4 years, probably their second term, 8 years, and the wife and child will be away. And they may not be able to come around due to security problems or possibility of danger, whatever. So they want to keep them. And we have found situations where that has strained relationships and strained marriages. Or somebody who is abroad. We heard of a sister, the husband is still abroad now, 3 years ago. The man promised that I will get there and I will send for you. And the lady is still waiting here in Nigeria. We have 3 years, we have 7 years. And the man is there. And they are here, well, he's there. We are okay. We communicate, send money. And we have discovered that at the end of the day, such situations strained the relationship. What can be done on such cases? What are the things that can be done to forestall this situation so that it will not be a threat? Or in the first place, is it proper? Is it okay for that situation to be? Let's start from there before we talk of what can be done to adjust that situation. Is it a good thing? You know the economy of our country, you know the way things are. Jobs can take you here and there, especially those who work in a place where they are always transferred. 1 year they are taken to Abuja, the next year they are in Nasarawa, and the family is based in Owo. You know, what do we see that situation as ideal? Or is it even okay in the first place? Yes, let's talk. You might find yourself in the same situation so that you know what to do. Who is speaking with me? Amarachi, okay.
It depends on how tough the situation is, the case is. For example, I have a dad and we stay in Aba, and part of the time we spent with him, I can calculate that. Most of the times he's transferred there or here or there or there. But there's never been something like a problem in the house concerning that. My mom actually goes on visit once in a month. And so if the family can be able to handle the situation, if it's something that can be properly taken care of, then I don't really think it's a big problem. But if it's in a case where when the husband is not around, the wife misbehaves, or when the wife is not around, the husband misbehaves, I don't think it's advisable. The both of them should work in the same place. And
okay, you have the opinion it's not a big problem, even though that connotes it a small problem, but it's not a big one. And that as long as there is understanding in the family, as long as it doesn't affect anything, they should go on. But looking at it, how should it really be? Let's look at it from that dimension. Because that one now, necessity of job cost that. And maybe your father may not be able to leave the job to say, I want to go back to my family. So somehow the loyalty now lies with both the family and both the job. But we know that they can't share the same loyalty. Some things we suffer. Okay, like you can count in your fingertips how many times you have had to stay with your dad now. You can count that. So will you say that that's a very good situation? Maybe for you or for the children, for the siblings or for the... Musala wants to say something? A minute.
Well, in Amarachi's case, she's seen it as a good situation because that's where she grew up, but not the good situation. It's, I... Like, this separation thing, I want to believe that, especially when the couples are newly married, as much as possible, they should start together as much as possible. Because if they living apart, there's no way you can get to know yourselves. There's some things that no matter how long separated couples are, they can't really know about themselves. And there are some responsibilities, like the place of a father in a home is very, very important. Now, when the children are growing up, children have a way of just playing around their mothers. No matter how tough that woman is, they will play around her. Whereas the dad that is the kind of the control, that he has this thing in him that even if he doesn't talk, when not daddy, there's a way they behave when he hears daddy. So I believe that the two, they have a part to play in the, especially in the life of their children, even apart from their own relationship together. So I believe that as much as possible, that separation should be settled. Because, okay, if we're to be in a way of, okay, the man is the kind that has job that it takes him all over the places and he's still loyal and he still wants to continue in his job, it must be an agreement between the two of them. They must come to that understanding. How are we going to do it? When are you going to come around? When am I going to come around? And if that comes up, then necessity is, I believe, you see, that separation is an act of the enemy to weigh down family ties. Is an economic demand to actually pull down the power, the strength of the home. When you come about a home is a place where father, mother, children, they are there and everything is binded together. But when other things comes up, then so much depends on the Holy Spirit to help us to handle it. Because if you ask your mom, she will tell you what she's actually going through. Children might not see it as a big deal, but the woman will see it as a very big deal. But she has just learned to accept the situation because there's nothing else she can do against it. But it is not actually the best situation. If we can't keep the husband and wife together, let's do so as much as possible.
Oh, so many people want to talk. Okay, Lekon, let's have you. There's a place in Deuteronomy 25 where it said if a man gets married, he should not go to war for 1 year. He should stay at home and cheer his wife. Is that not flimsy? Just be cheering her up. Of course, it's much more than cheer. The Bible is saying something. Yeah.
It depends on the value one place. It depends on the value one place on the marriage. If you're, like the Reverend Mrs. said earlier, I had it in mind before she even spoke it, that when a newly wedded couple, when they begin, they should not be separated at all, no matter the job you are offered to take. Now, if you value your marriage, you value your wife and your children, there's no, when the job comes, you have to know which one to do. If I should take this job, how am I going to relate with my family? Am I going to be around them? If I'm not going to be around them, how will they feel? Now, if you can ask that question and you can answer it, now you can know what to do. There are some jobs, even though you are not even transferred, like banking jobs. You wake up in the morning, early in the morning, you go, you come back around 8. Will you say you are relating with your family? There's a story I heard about somebody, a family. One day, the girl child just woke up and said, "Mommy, who is this stranger in our house?" She was referring to her dad. And the daddy works in a bank, wake up in the morning, come back late in the night, Now, if you value your marriage, you value your family, there are some things you ignore so that the marriage will grow. If you do not sacrifice those things, you can lose your marriage. So I would say it depends on the value you place on the marriage. If you don't place a serious value on it, you can be transferred to Kano, you won't really mind.
Okay. Let's look at it this way. Okay, so many people want to talk. Safumi, Nika. Okay. Okay, let me just chip it in as I call Safumi. Give to Safumi. We are talking of the value you place. Is it really the value? No, I understand you, but I'm just want to expand the thought. Should it be the value you place, or what should we really, what should be the situation? What is the standard? How should it be? How does God want it to be? Uh-huh. Your own value that you placed on it. Even if you still say, well, I value my family more than my job. You say, okay, you have done it. Something must have informed that. Maybe your understanding of what should really be. So, I just want to achieve that thought. Safumi, let's have it.
My own contribution is like question. What of if in all situations, it's warranted to separate? What can it be?
Okay.
Together. Or assuming before they got married, they were separated already. What are they going to do to come together? Assuming I'm working in Lagos and my other husband is in Akure and we got married, and I don't want to leave my, and he doesn't want to leave his job. How are we going to do it to melt things together?
Well, that's the last aspect we will discuss on what can be done in that situation. So if, like I thought about that situation, when a lady finishes from school and gets a good job anywhere, she's at liberty to take the job. And the man also finishes and takes the job. And they are not thinking of marriage along the line, maybe when you were in school, you said, I will take the... But now they now saw that, okay, we are going to get married. Like she painted, the man is in Lagos, the wife is in Akure, and they have good jobs in both places and all of that. Will we talk about that? Or... That's the first side. The second side is when they are already married. They are already married. Now, something now happens about the job, maybe transfer or opening. Like, shortly before I got married, there was an opening for me in Ogun State, which is very good. But I didn't take it on some things I thought. So, it can happen in 2 weeks, before or after. Yes, Nika?
My contribution is also like a question. That what if in the face of chronic poverty, that because no matter how sweet is a family, when there is no money, there's going to be irritation, and the wife will be the one pushing, go and take that job, go, leave the house. In that kind of case, what can be done?
Okay. No money. In the face of economic challenges, chronic poverty, as you. Yes, Wally. You want to say something earlier? Oh, it has been said. Okay.
Sir, let me just cite an example. I have a friend. He's been working as the chairman of his own company. Everybody knows him very well. But most of the time, I think he spends most of his time outside his state. Okay, in that kind of situation, he's a man of God. He's even a preacher. In that kind of situation, what do we do? Or do you think...
Okay, it's even his own job. Now, this is not a matter of somebody taking him out. It's his own job. And that his own job takes him so much out of the state. And he's even a man of God. That even helps the situation. Okay, we'll take all of that together. Yes, Busola, you are each to talk.
Praise the Lord. My mom had to sacrifice her own job just for her to come together with my mom and with my dad. There was a time her job transferred to so many places. So whenever she comes back, she will hear rumors from outside that ladies do flock around my dad, and my dad is too handsome, just like that. So my mom had to leave that job just to come and stay with her husband. And since then, we've been facing so many things because my mom is just a kind of a person that puts on, let me say, the family responsibility somehow. She pays our school fees and all that. And since then, we've been facing so many things.
as he was talking about chronic poverty, our own is just like that. And we believe it, and our mom needed to explain, and our dad, they all explained to we children that this is the situation. So we must blend. We must just accept that. And the whole family paid for it. Until today, she's still looking for a job that will make her to stay with her husband.
Okay. That's a situation. Because of the fact that ladies are troubling your dad, she had to quickly come around because he's too handsome. Okay. Well, I've not seen him before because I would judge.
You see, this issue of separation is so serious. It can be a simple thing to so many people. But hi, I know it's so serious because when my mother was pregnant of me, she had to travel back to where she works in Erua. My father is working in Idanyore. Now, so many times, Oyo State. Now, so many times, this woman will suffer alone in Erua with myself inside her. You understand that kind of a thing. Now, when she was going to give her to me, she gave her to me in Ibadan. After maternity leave, she returned to Erua with that small child. Now, I was trained as a small child outside the four walls of my family. Now, it has a psychological effect on me. When I came back and I'm grown up now, it's because I want to start primary school that I have to come back to Ibadan. So I now came back to Ibadan looking like a stranger in the midst of my brethren. Now, it got to a stage, she was transferred to Maya. My father was transferred to somewhere, I can't remember again. I feel like, what kind of daddy will go in the on Monday as early as good morning? Mommy too will go on Monday as early as good morning, remaining the eight of us inside the house. You know? So on Friday evening, all of us, we are playing football outside. Immediately we have pam pam, everybody scatter. Now, what kind of a building up is that? Now, this issue is so serious that as a person, I have made a decision. No matter what, let us face it. The standard is this. You leave, she leaves. And cleave. Do you understand? Now, the reality so many times could give excuses to us to move away. Well, but I think God will grace a man who wills to do his will. Do you understand? So I in my own thinking, I think it's the best for you to sacrifice whatever. Now, if the issue is the how much we earn per month, try as much as possible. Who earns more? Now, let's go for who earns more, and let's try to see what who earns lower can do around where the person who earns more. I think it's better for a husband and a wife, most especially when they just start. It's better for them to stay together. Thank you.
Give it to that lady over there.
Praise the Lord. Actually, this topic is very interesting topic. Actually, I have illustration to mix, like the way I was brought up, and marriage is about going to 26 years ago. So they transfer grandma. Grandpa now said, from Ogun State to Diroko, me I can't bear that. After 2 or 3 years, daddy now went to Ministry of Education, Abeokuta. He now worked everything out. They transfer my grandma back to Ijebu. But when they transfer her back to Ijebu, she really passed through a lot of things, which she cannot bear. Sometimes, when she was at Diroko, whenever we come back during the weekend, daddy said, don't come inside my house. This is not how I planned it. And church, she faced many challenges because she's the reverend. They will say, Reverend Mrs., midweek service, you didn't show up. And this day, there are some assignments committed to your hands. You were unable to carry it out. Is it because of this work? At the end of the day, when both of them now came back together, they really enjoyed themselves. I don't really see anything in separation. No matter how it is, if it's because of your husband, you want to, because of what you hint at the end of the month, then look for something else to do. You can develop your skill. I think that's the best. Thank you.
We have said it all across and have allowed that time so that we air our view, because some of us are victims of this and all of that. Like, we have people whose parents will be in the school. Like, father will be in the school, maybe university, and the mother will be at home, and the children are there. So father only comes at the end of the semester or at the end of the session and all of that. Now let's look at what God has to say to all of this situation. Now, forget about chronic poverty. Forget about asynchronic poverty. Forget about any name we give to this thing. There is a simple way out of it. It's not a serious issue. It's not a difficult issue. It's a very simple thing. Is that clear? It now only depends on the individual involved. How much of understanding you have on the provisions of God. Because God has made provision for every situation in life. Do you agree with me? Even your unborn children now, God has a plan for them. Do you agree with me? Now, it begins from what do we know of God in this situation? Separation on whatever grounds is not the ideal, is not good, because so many things will suffer. All what we do is that we just adjusted, and we adjusted to the situation. But adjusting to the situation does not really bring, has not brought the best. For instance, a child should grow up with the father and the mother. It's even said by some counselors, some marriage counselors, that when a woman gets pregnant, the first 3 months are very crucial, and that the man must be around also to even interact with the unborn baby, especially in the first 3 months. That is a way we have proven that babies in the womb respond to situations. And that is why the way the man treats the woman at the first 3 months of pregnancy, we show on the child. If there's much of love, you see the child being, you know, growing up. When he or she is born, with that love atmosphere around him or her. So the issue is not the job now first. But the truth is that this situation requires a very drastic measure. And that drastic measure is to see to what the scripture has laid down. When the Bible says when a man marries, he should not go to war. He should stay at home for one calendar year to cheer his wife. There is something about that. Now, every foundation is important. Once the foundation is destroyed, the Bible says the righteous cannot do anything. You can't do anything. You are righteous, but you can't do anything. So the foundation matters. How do they blend? How do they mix up? At least that, for the Bible to say 1 year, that means that 1 year is crucial to form a bedrock for what will happen later. If after 20 years you secure a job or you have to travel to America for 2 years, do you know that it will have no effect on that marriage? It will be as if the woman went to the market and we come back, because something has formed that can never be unformed. But in the process, especially for newly married, in the process, I knew the battle I fought not to allow my wife to even go far for NYC. But some people said no. Otherwise, it would not, she would have been posted right back here. But some people said, no way, no way. We wanted to do the change of the name right from last year. They said no. No, the tradition has not been done until it is done. And that now caused her to have to go away for 30 days. Do you understand that now? And we are just praying. Of course, we trust God. I'm just counting this. We recall her. Not because I want her around me. Not because I can't do. I've been trying to get along, even though it has not been easy. Like, I pack food sometimes. I'll forget phone. You know, those things. That's not. But all the truth is that I can still go. If you can live in school 4 years through the hostel, and you can stay for 30 days. But I know that it's going to affect something that must be done significantly. I don't want it. I don't want it. A man of God said there are avoidable troubles. There are avoidable problems. You can avoid them. There are some ones you can't avoid. You have to confront them. But some you can simply avoid them and not draw unnecessary things to yourself with your own hands. Do you understand that now? So not because of I can't stay, but something must be for what God is seeking for. Like Pastor said, there is a space
there's a space called when we look at marriage, we just see marriage, pleasure. No. Marriage creates a platform for God for some things to be done. But once a party is not there, those things cannot be done. Forget, it's not about you. It's not about him. It's about what God wants to do. Because when God brought you together, he didn't bring you together so that you can sleep together and just enjoy yourself and go to tantalizers. No, he brought you together for himself. And he said that he might raise a godly seed, Malachi 2, that he might raise a God. That's something that God wants to raise. And the pastor told us it's called the holy thing. When you say something is holy, like Mary, the angel told Mary, that holy thing. The word holy means it's of God. So that he might seek a godly seed or a holy seed or a divine seed, God wants to eat something from that relationship. And it will require the two of you being together, especially if you are married, just newly married, to be together for that to take place. So if it's not like that, you are already undermining that. And God will not maybe struck you on the head for that, but you are not simply creating that room. And some things should be affected. So let's start from there. That is what the Bible says. So wherever you are as unmarried now, it doesn't matter what the work you are doing or whatever, the opportunity, forget that. Marriage takes precedence over all. Of what use is money when there is no joy? The same scripture says godliness and contentment is a great gain. The same scripture says it is better to have little and to eat bitter herbs than to have plenty and there is quarrel and strife. The same scripture says, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. So, God has set things in order in life. Now, economic situations have caused these things to be. Now, we have so many situations now. Like you said, your parents, your mother left her job, and now you are suffering some things. How about the things you are gaining? How about the things, do you know the things you have gained by that? Do you know the things that you don't even know? Because you have not really taken time to take the stock. You are only looking at the economic side of it. Say, we suffered. It's thank God for that. But do you know the coming together? What it has done to both of you? So there's nothing we can really... It's difficult for situations where we can decide or do something drastic. It's difficult. And like I've come to discover lately, By this time last year, I did not know I will get married February. I did not know. In fact, true to God, the date I feel, yes, things will have fallen in place, 2012. That was, I don't like those odd numbers. 2011, she will go for service 1 year. Okay, 1 year, that's February 2010 to February 2011. I was ready. But suddenly, along the line, I began to have strong understanding that this is the time you are in that season. Something must be done. And I remember Pastor, we always talk along that line. I would just tell Pastor, in my mind, I would say, Pastor, it's still in my mind. But you say, something must be done. Now, when I saw that now, I had to take a drastic step of wanting to launch out. Not having things as it were. What is that? What's on ground, really? I would have loved to have this and that and that. I would have loved situations to be like this and that and that. But when I saw that this is the time, God is not looking at my pocket. He's not looking at what I am looking at. He's looking at a higher thing. And if it will have to come together now for that higher thing to be accomplished, so be it. So I have to just let it go. Now, I've told myself, no expectation. I don't have any expectation anywhere for anything. I'm simply going to respond to God. Once it is what he wants done, so be it. Even if it cost us economically, so be it. Now, Pastor raised a serious issue. The issue borders on faith. Can you say faith? Jesus will say, oh, ye of little faith, who has sustained you thus far? Who? So if your wife now earns, or your husband earns 150,000 at Shell per month, and you are not here, but you don't have to be together, but he sends 70K every month. And because you like that situation, because it satisfies your fantasies, you don't really bother. I will go there once in a week. I go there on weekend and I come back. Go there weekend and I come back. But some things you also suffer. So it requires us to take a drastic step, number one. Then it depends on your faith. A lot of us are still not able to. We are not able to just call the bluff of it. You understand that now? currently I'm doing a job that is really taking a whole lot out of me, as it were, and I've been counting the cost, and I've been seeing that the minuses is beginning to outweigh the pluses, and I've made a decision. Not because something is going to happen there, or because I have something happening there. If your life is based on something happens before you respond, then it's not a life of faith, because we're even called into this life of faith. We are not saying you should be stupid. We are not saying you should be unwise and do things anyhow. No. You count the cost. You sit down. If you will not be able to shift from your base to join your husband or to join your wife, don't marry. Can we begin from there? It will help you. You will not have any problem. But to be apart, in the name of what? Tell me, what is keeping you apart? Job. So that is the issue. You must be able to. Now, your marriage and your job cannot take the same place. The first thing is God. Next is what? Family. First is God. Next is what? Family. Now, God, who knows that you want to uphold that order, knows how to sustain you, knows how to care for you. Now, it now depends on if you believe God can care for you. Somebody said something, Pastor Afolabi, long ago, 2002. He said, are we better than the birds? That's the title of his message. Just a 5 minutes message. Are we better than the birds? He said, look at the birds of the air. They know that this and that and that. But God feeds them. He said, if for any reason you come to that point where you begin to worry about what you eat, he said, you are not better than the birds. It was so shocking. But it was real. Because all of us find ourselves, we worry, we agitate a lot. If you are not able to come to that father, God is able to care for you. The birds are better, or they have better faith than you have. You know those birds, small thing that you can kill. They have better faith than you are. That's the implication. So it calls for, you know, like Pastor will always say, let's not look at the corrective dimension first. Let's look at the redemptive provision, meaning that how is this supposed to be? That's what Jesus said in Matthew 19. In the beginning, what did he say? It was not so. So many things now happen. Hardness of heart. Now God now allowed Moses to put some things in place. But really, in the mind of God, in the way God wants to be, it is not supposed to be so. He that made them in the beginning, made them twin, male and female. And he now said, for this cause, they will come together and merge and be cemented and be glued to each other and be blended. Now, the Holy Ghost had to brood upon the water for God to speak. If the Spirit had traveled to Australia to do a job, and God had to speak on the void, what will happen? Nothing will take shape. So, see your life, see your marriage as that void, that space, that nothing has been put there, that it will require the brooding of the man and the woman together to begin to bring structure, to begin to bring shape, to begin to bring life. So, in the question that we have all raised, what of if the man is working in Lagos? And the husband is, the wife is working in Akure, one of them should leave to go and join the other. You understand that now? It doesn't mean that you should go really to Lagos. Both of them can agree, okay, let's go and stay in Ibadan. All that matters is the two of them must be together. So, chronic poverty or no chronic poverty is going to be violating some divine standards that God has placed there. And they are the ones that really suffer for it somewhere. Is that clear?
Is that clear? It has shut in your mouth, Sabi. Is that I know you have a dry eye dry for this world. Let me just say this to us, that what he's saying is not just to avoid divorce. Okay? He has moved from the realm of divorce to the realm of abundance of life. There's a space of life. It's a space where you are managing. It's a place where you are coping, but you don't really have life. I think it's something now. So it is instructions. Talking to people who want to live. The essence of God for marriage is for men to live. This family life is a life that is meant to cultivate something. You understand what I'm saying? Now he said to Abraham, leave your father's house, leave your kindred, go to the land I will show you. And the man got there, he made a dry land. He tried to look around and look around. He found nothing. He built an altar. He left the place again. He was led back there. He spent some years there. There was famine. He went down to Egypt. Until he made his trouble, He came up to a dry land. And the dry land ended up becoming the promised land. So sometimes they're like, we don't really know, understand the principle of faith. We don't know that when God speaks, it's higher than what you see. Now, the very place today is what is called Israel, the blessed land. Everybody wants to be there. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that part there, to just know that it's not what is. It is what should be. It's not what seems to be present. It's what is ahead. And when a man has that heart in his new within him, he can always sacrifice anything to get God's counsel done. Do you understand that? Now, the part there remains the fact that can you believe God to turn your wilderness to a fruitful land? Can God speak to you? Leave this place, go to Lije and settle there, and you believe God speaking? Won't life be bleak when you get there? Won't you see yourself going down every day? So, where you experience death is in the soul. It's in not exactly what God is saying. If your soul is dark, if you can't see God in your soul, then you will see life coming to an end. Then you will need to live a life where you are baited every time. Next year, you will see a better opportunity in Patakot. You run down there. Next 2 years, you see another one in Lagos. You run down there. You keep running to chase opportunities. Because you think today, if you earn 100,000 naira, if I get there, I will be contented. I tell you, if you get there, you will find out that your needs are more than 100,000. You will see a higher offer of 20,000 as what is going to meet your need. You see a reason to move again. Men of faith don't move like that. They move by direction of the Spirit. God has to speak. God has to say. And what is in the future is more than what is. You can suffer now and you are precise. What he's talking about, a godly seed. You are preserved something in the future for God that will happen. So it's not all about what seems to be present. You can even go through a prayer in your own time and you have done something for the next 10 generations. You understand what I'm saying? So men of faith are not just men of the present. Just want to enjoy. Yeah, how is life? Yeah, I'm enjoying my life. And you are destroying the future. And you are enjoying your life. How is life? I'm coping. I know it's everything is in shape. You don't care about what is coming to be. You don't care about what God has spoken. You don't care about what is the place of divine agenda in the life you are living. So our heart should be that. But it takes time to ascend to that. And that's why we're saying that you cannot marry more than your folk, your friend. If you are low in the spirit, you marry a low person in the spirit. Okay? And you move like that everywhere. And you'll be coping. But the truth is that there won't be space for life. There won't be space for God to come and feed in your house. You see what I'm saying? I want to feel like I was telling someone yesterday, I said, when you build your family, can you think about the family you build and when God is coming on the earth? You just want to come into your house and feed there. You think God is coming to come and eat the meat in Abraham's house? I'm talking to you. What is God coming to do in Abraham's house? There's something in that house. There's a life in that house. There's an habitation there that God himself, when he comes in there, he has peace. So when he's coming from heaven, you remember, when I'm going to come on the earth here, I must get to the house of my friend Abraham. There's something in that house. So it's much worse. So are you thinking about being in a home in which when heaven is coming down, angels is coming down, they will think, when I'm coming to your house. When you have that in view, it's not going to be exactly what seems to be provided now that will move you. You understand what I'm saying? So, financial hardship, whatever, it's not the issue there. You can move your time. You can change your times by your standing in faith. You can do a lot of things. There are a lot of things you can create here and there. There are a lot of thoughts that can invade your heart. Faith is creative. Faith is not dull. Faith is not dead. Faith is life. When you are walking by faith, you are walking by life. You know what I'm saying? It's not something you believe in. Since we came to this land, we have been poor. And for 10 years, nothing is happening. That's not active faith. When faith comes into place, it activates the place, it brings life in there. You will see things that were never seen for a long time. You will not find that there's no land that's not blessed if God is there. It does not matter where it is. Or wherever, the good of the land, the meek of the land, you will eat it. So let's just learn to believe God. Let's learn to, when I say believe God, I'm not talking about that passive, God will do it thing. Let's be part of what God is doing. Let's wish to be functional. Bring your family, your life into entirety into what God is doing. You'll find out that if there's need, like I was talking about, the early part is a must.
If you are getting married, you must be ready to live where you are to join with your husband. Or your husband is living for a reason that is directed by God in his heart, knowing that it's God's will to move to a new location. Like he said, it may be the place he was before, it may be your place as a lady, it may be another new ground that God is saying. But God is giving a direction, this is the place to settle in, and you just move there. Maybe the husband will move in there first to go and make a preparation for the place and so on and so forth, and move you in there and so on and so forth. If you are going to be separated, it must not be for a long time. In the early part, there must not be provision made for that. Drastic step has to be done to start the family together. If you are not ready for that, don't start it. Because you'll be violating God's intention for that thing you are starting. Now, if it comes in along the line, you can always be here for a moment to plan to come back together again. You must not accept that as a status we have to go on for the next 20 years. You must be watching out that into what is God saying, what are the things that have been done to get this thing corrected. Now, we are coping. You are coping does not mean that life is going on. What you are lacking in your family will show somewhere there along the line that you will see that you have lost something. Or you may not even see it. Some of them will see that this one lacks something and you can't see it. Hallelujah. I'm just saying to us that it's a vital part what we're talking about. Don't plan to live a separated life in marriage. It's not all about marriage itself. It's all about the life in the marriage. That life that you cannot give alone. It takes the two to produce that life. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Can we just stand to pray? The other pass that Pastor Mark was supposed to handle is also a very wide area, so we'll push it till next week. Let's just stand to pray this morning. I see a serious situation or it's a prayer point. I see a point. You know, prayer points are not what you just pray, but prayer points are those things that guide you into a kind of ways where you should begin to look into. Now, this issue is very fundamental. It's just that it's coming out now under the platform of marriage. It can come out in another platform. But the point is, what are we willing to do? What are we willing to let go? What are we willing to sacrifice for the purpose of conforming to God's standard and to God's requirement? That's the question. It was not easy for Abraham to leave his land, to leave his parents, to leave his... The father who attempted to follow him, God ensured that one died along the way. It was not very easy. It was not easy for Joseph to be sold into slavery. He thought he was being sold at the initial stage, but thank God later, he told his brother, he said, God has sent me ahead. So he didn't see his brother selling him. He saw God sending him into Egypt to preserve his own people in that land. So it wasn't really about he going there to just be a prime minister and enjoy, but God has sent him there to preserve something for him. In the same way, when you get married, God is sending you as a woman to that man to help him, God, accomplish something in that context. And as a man, God is sending you to that woman to help him, God, accomplish something in her life. And we have come to know that marriage is actually for salvation. Marriage is for salvation. There is a way in which you will not be saved if you don't come into that state and some things happen to you. Because in marriages, you shift your grounds. In marriage, you rearrange your priorities. In marriage, you come to learn so many things that if you are single, you will never have to need them. Not to even talk of learning them. So it's a platform for God to cause his own agenda to be unfolded. It's a platform for God. Now, when we talk about the kingdom invading the earth, the only channel through which the kingdom will invade the earth is through the church. And what is the church? The church is made up of families. Now, Paul said, I bow my knee to the Father, of whom the families in heaven and on earth are named. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, he sets the solitary in the family. So there's something about the home, the family. The home that is integral part of the church, and the church being an integral part of the kingdom. So the kingdom of God finds expressions through homes. Somebody gave birth to Samuel. Somebody gave birth to David. Somebody raised Saul while he was small. Timothy was taught by the mother, by the grandmother. If there had been no home situation in that sense, all those things would not have taken place. So we are praying this morning, Father, help me to believe you.
Help me to believe in your provisions. Now, help me to believe in your arrangement. Help me to believe in that which you have set out. He said, God has shown you, oh man, what is good. He has shown us what is good. God is not caught unawares. God also knows that there can be economic hardship. God also knows that there may be no job in Ondo State, and that job may be in Lagos. God knows that. Of course, what are the jobs that we have here? But God does not bless by job. God does not bless. How does God bless? He blesses by his word. He said, and God blessed them and said. And God blessed them and said. Even the Bible says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. So it's not even the riches. It's not even the money that is the blessing. But the blessing can bring the money. So that shows us the blessing is not the money. The blessing is not the job. The blessing is not those opportunities. The blessing is God himself. When God blesses you, you are blessed. Like Jacob. Jacob was blessed that wherever you go, you will make the place prosper. Now, he said, the smell of my son is like the field that God has blessed. So Isaac saw Jacob in blessing him as a fruitful field that that God has already blessed. And when God has blessed the field, it produces all the time. So it doesn't matter where Jacob goes to. If Jacob should go to Padan Aram, if he should go to wherever, anywhere Jacob settles, it's blessed. Let's look at it naturally, even in the physical. The place where Israel is located right away is a desert. Can you imagine? But do you know that their agriculture, we cannot stand to them. We are not even up to 1% of what Israel can produce, agriculturally speaking. Yet, we have rainforest here, we have everything there. Israel, they have matured in technology to even make rain to fall. They can make artificial rain to fall. Now we can be looking for rain and all of that. We'll be waiting for it. They don't need to wait for rain. They just see the clouds. When they see the clouds, rain will fall. You go to look at their land. Now, sometimes back, that place was a desert. But somebody obeyed God and went there. He said, and Isaac sowed in that land in the year of famine. And in that same year, he reaped 100-fold. It's not about the land. It's about the God of the land. So there's a good in the land. Look at what the young ruler told Jesus. He said, good master, what must I do to be saved? What was the answer of Jesus? There is none good except God. So when we say the good of the land is the God of the land that can make things happen. So I am yielding myself. I am saying, it doesn't matter what the economy is. It doesn't matter what my expectations are. I am willing to sacrifice them to allow the ordination of God to be in place. It's a simple thing. Begin to pray to God to strengthen your heart. Let him strengthen your heart. You need to be able to take bold step in God. Let him strengthen your heart. He said, oh ye of little faith. The disciples says, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Oh Lord, increase our faith. A lot of you now students, you're just waiting to finish from Ondo now and just move to Port Harcourt, move to Lagos, move to Enugu, move to Kano, move to Abuja. As if that is where life is. I am not saying stay here if God does not want you to stay here. We must begin to live by the Spirit. You can't do things anyhow. You can't just feel that I want to go and settle in Badon. Who gave you the instruction? Did God send you? He said, no, the main thing is I'm going to Jaws. I just like the environment of Jaws. I just want to go and stay in Jaws. They will cut off your head. We move by the Spirit. We are not of ourselves, except you don't want to be serious with this life, except you want to walk in the kingdom, except you want to be part of the people that God is raising. But those people, they don't do anything for themselves. No, they don't. They are called slaves. They are born servants. They don't own their children. They don't own their money. Like I was telling somebody last night, your money is not your own. When you have money, when you earn money, you thought you have worked. It is not yours, it's God's. Because it was God who gave you the strength to do that job. It was God who gave you the breath of life to do that job. It was God who gave you the air, the everything that you use to do that job. So when you get the money is for him, it's not for you. He said, when I did that business, I did that business and I got those money. Who gave you the power to do the business? Who authorized you to do the business? Whose business? It's God's. It's God's. It's God's. You said to yourself, Lord, I give you my life. I commit my life to you. I want to be my Lord and Savior. You have given him your life. Then you should be able to give him your job. You should be able to give him anything on the grounds that you want to please him. There are some things that must be sacrificed for higher purposes to be accomplished. There are some things that must go. They must give way. A lot of you now, you are thinking of that time you will gain your visa lottery and you will run away. You, in fact, you will actually win the visa lottery, but God will tell you don't go. And if God doesn't want to tell you don't go, He will block you. Of all everybody that will go and apply in the embassy for visa, you will be the only one they will deny. They will deny you. Ask people around who have experienced it. They will deny them. Now, it's because God loves you. It's because God has a purpose for you. And you are not willing to wait for that purpose to come to pass. So God will begin to stop you. God will begin to delay you. God will begin to bring hindrances in your way. So that time will come. When you now fully realize, then you will be well rested. You will not struggle anymore. You will not strive. Psalm 18 said it. He said, the Lord has delivered me from the strivings of men. Your gentleness has made me great. We ask that God will deliver us from the strivings of men. There are strives out there. Men are striving to live, striving to make ends meet. Pastors are moving up and down, preaching here, preaching there, preaching up, preaching down. Their families are suffering. They can delegate. A preaching engagement can wait. Like the person who is the owner of his company and will never always be at home, he can delegate. He can delegate. He can put people there. The Bible says the children of this world, they are wiser in their own sight than the children of light. Bill Gates has retired from the company he created by himself. With all his money, he retired. He has retired. He has handed the company over. He has put a system in place. You can also put a system in place that you don't have to be there in person. It's not the person, it's the system. Once the system is strong, the thing will keep running itself. You hear Don Bosco. Where is the man called Don Bosco? He has died many, many years ago. But his works, because he has put the system in place, is continuing. Wherever he is, go and look at those Catholic formations. It's not one person, it's a system. So we have also been called into a system called the kingdom. Once you place the kingdom there, it will be self-sustaining. God needs us, not what we can give him. Our wives need us, not our provisions for them. Our husbands need us, not because we can cook for them, but because of our presence. And God needs both of us, not because we just bring us together for fun, but because of what he wants to reap and what he wants to eat out of that relationship. Lord, we submit to your authority. We submit to your authority. We submit to your life. In the name of Jesus, we yield to you. We yield to you. No matter how difficult it may be, we are willing to let go of the things that we need to let go. We are willing to embrace the life we need to embrace. Peter was told, when you were young, you used to go where you like. But the time is coming, another person will take you by the hand and take you to where you don't want to go. Now, that is it. It's not your agenda. It's not what you... Don't say it's my life. I can do what I like with my life. No! You can't do what you like with your life, except you want to be a son of perdition. Except you want to cut yourself off from God. He said, all that the Father has given to me, I have kept them. Nobody is lost except the son of perdition. You can actually remove yourself from the book of life. You can remove yourself from the things that are written in the book. You can remove your part in the holy city. It's in your hand. You have to make the choice. The choice is yours. Do you believe God enough? He who cares for the sparrow, do you believe he can sustain you? You are there, you are agitating. Who will I marry? Who will I marry? When will I get admission? When will I do this? The God who has been sustaining you in the past, can't he sustain you now? The God who delivered the Israelites at the Red Sea, they forgot him when they got to Jordan. And they mumble and they grumble in the wilderness and he killed them. We will not forget him. We lay hold on him. We see him. We see God. We see God. We see him alone. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. This is my desire, to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise, and all that I adore, it's in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every
every moment of my way. You have your way.
Now, I want to think of the lines of that song. It says, this is my desire to honor you. Do you have that desire to honor him? Are you really sure you want to honor him? Because if you want to honor God, you will obey him. You will yield to him. He told Eli, he said, those who honor me, I will honor. And those who dishonor me, I will lightly esteem them. He told Nadab and Abihu, because they have not honored him. So to honor him is to submit to his ways. He said, this is my desire to honor you. He said, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. What does it mean to worship? God told Abraham, go to the mountain. Go on. He said, we want to go and worship God. And what was he going to do? He wanted to go and sacrifice. So to worship is to lay it down. To worship is to pour it down. He said, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. Everything about me, that is, I bring them to a position where they glorify you. My marriage glorifies you. My job glorifies you. My everything about me glorifies you. Now look at those walls. They are not ordinary. They are strong walls. All I have within me, I give you praise. And all that I adore is in you. That thing you adore, that image you have in your mind, is it in God? A lot of us have unrealistic expectations about marriage. You want to marry that slender, catwalking lady. You want to marry that tall, charming, handsome guy, whatever, that is not existent anywhere. You have images in your mind. All you should look for is, God, give me a wife of your heart. There's a state called wifehood. There's a state called husbandhood. Anybody can fit in. You don't have to create the image of the person that will fit in. There's a mold already for who your husband will be or who your life will be. You should see God. God, show me. Don't say, God, this is what I want. I want a man who is this. I want a man. You are not part of the kingdom if you are still of that mind. You don't want to follow God. Those who want to follow God, they lay down their lives. They don't have any agenda. They don't have a vision. They don't have an agenda. If God says drop it, they drop it. If God says take it, they take it. If God says stop, they stop. If God says go, they go. Wherever he goes, he said, look at those people in Revelation. They are dead, cannot defy themselves with women. And they do what? They follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Whithersoever he goeth, they follow him. So you must be willing. You must be willing. And it's not something that ends here. You must go back home and reorder your agenda. You must go and tear all those ambitions. By 35, I want to be this. By 20, I want to be this. I want to be this. I want to be this. No. Ask God, what do you want me to be? Let me know. He told that woman, he said, there are two nations in your womb. Two nations in your womb. And Rachel knew that earlier in life. And she was walking to that. Isaac didn't know that. That was why he was trying to thwart. You know what Isaac was trying to do that day? He wanted to rupture a divine arrangement. God will not allow him. He wanted to bless Esau. Esau, that the Bible called prophet. Isaac wanted to bless him. God will never allow that. But if Isaac had known, he would not even struggle. He would not even try to say, go and bring me food. He would simply call Jacob and bless him. We are saying this morning, we lay it down in the name of Jesus. We lay it down. We lay it down. Pray to God. You know those things in your mind, those walls, those battles. This world is in us. Whether we like it or not, the world is sitting inside of us. You love this world. You like this world. And the Bible says, nobody can love this world and be a friend of God. Remember those days, you could spite anything for God. You could leave anything for God. Imagine, now you want to cling to it as if that's your life. Imagine that, as if that's your life. I remember the times that because of divine purpose, I had to stop some major things in my life. And I didn't care. Now those things, now they are coming back as if they are important. If I can spy them then, I should be able to spy them now. He said, we will not defile ourselves with a portion of the king's meat. You want to defile yourself? No! The life of God in you is too precious to be defiled by the portion of the king's meat. You must be willing to let it go. If God should tell you, I don't want you to marry, it should not be a big deal to you. You should know that his desire for your life is the best for you. Wherever he locates you,
A lot of ladies, I heard a lot of ladies say, I don't want to marry a pastor. I don't want to marry a pastor. I don't want to marry a pastor. And all of them end up marrying pastors. What is about them? But why should you form any idea, image in your mind? God does not want it. Pray to your Father this morning to help you. To help you. He is here right now to help you. Let's cry to him. These 2 minutes, let's cry to him. He will hear. He will hear. Lord, help me. I surrender. I yield. So I surrender. Oh Father, Holy Spirit, oh Jesus, I yield to your will. I yield to your will. You are all I desire. As long as God is desire of your heart, that is okay. God is not wicked. He knows. He said, who has given to me that I have not repaid? He knows how to take care of his own. Go and ask those who walk this path. They will tell you that God is faithful. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.